when you open the door for somebody else.
Welcome into the vaccine conversation with Melissa and Dr. Bob. This is a special episode that we're going to talk about a couple aspects of the coronavirus vaccine, a couple things we've recently learned and people are talking a lot about, and I find very fascinating is the newly developed messenger RNA vaccine, the mRNA vaccine. It's a brand new technology. They've never made any vaccines using this technology before, and there's one company that is trying to utilize this technology to make one of the first coronavirus vaccines.
Well, you know, it's funny. We should be excited when something's new, like, oh, they've never done this before. But when it comes to like
vaccines,
something you're going to be injecting into yourself to create an immune response with all these different adjuvants, preservatives, or whatever is going to be in there, the idea of like new, we've never done this before, to me is like red flag.
I mean, how many like dystopian, post-apocalyptic sci-fi movies have been made based on this premise? And we've got this great medical treatment, this new discovery. We're going to inject every human on the planet with it, and then, boom, something goes horribly wrong. And it's sci-fi, it's science fiction, but
it's not that, real. That never happens.
I know that really concerns me that they're using a completely new technique. And not just something they're injecting into you, but something they're injecting into you that's designed to tell your cells the protein building, the genetic components in your cells, telling your cells how to start making a viral protein. That is so bizarre to me.
I remember Bill Gates, far-fetched. In his personal blog, he was just like, when he talked about this technology, he's like, it might not really work very well. He's like, we're using this brand new thing, but it might not really work very well. I'm thinking, well, that's a problem. And you want to do this to 7 billion people? Yeah. Like, that's an issue for me.
Yeah. Well, something I just saw yesterday is the company that is utilizing this technology, Moderna, is it called? Moderna, yeah. I think. They apparently, according to a totally separate company, Moderna did not developed this mRNA technology. A totally different company did. They developed the technique on how to create an mRNA vaccine. Now, Moderna is utilizing that technology to make the vaccine. And so this other company sued Moderna for violating their patent on this technology. And that other company so far won in court. The judge sided with this other company saying, no, Moderna, you are violating their patent by utilizing this technology. So they're going to have to obviously strike some sort of deal or come to some sort of understanding with this other company if Moderna is going to move forward with making this vaccine.
And it's just so fun to have lawsuits in the middle of production the most highly anticipated vaccine of our time that, they should be focusing all on safety and efficacy at this point, not dealing with this kind of stuff that, is going to bog them down.
Yeah. So what's so concerning about this kind of new vaccine technology is, as everyone knows, classic vaccines are either the living version of the germ or a killed version of the germ or proteins that coat the germ. Mm-hmm. Those things are injected into you and your immune system sees them as foreign and your immune system attacks them and creates antibodies to those substances. And that's the classic way that we make vaccines. This new technology is really scary. I basically just want to take a little bit of time to explain how they're doing it. And because I think this hopefully will concern you, the idea of injecting this kind of thing that's going to affect you on a cellular level, it's just super concerning. So basically, they make the vaccine that has portions of the COVID viral RNA, all right? Everyone knows what DNA is. That's in your genes, and that's your genetic code, and that's how your body, makes proteins and tells your body what to do in every aspect of how your body functions. It's all based on your DNA. Well, the RNA is basically the nucleic acids in your cells that read your genetic code. Like your RNA sort of like reads your DNA. And then your cells use the RNA to make things, to make proteins and make hormones and make everything your body needs, All right. So some viruses have their own DNA, but some viruses don't even have DNA. They instead just have RNA. They don't even use DNA. They use that. They just go right ahead with RNA to make all their proteins and everything. So what they're doing here is they're taking a little bit of COVID RNA called messenger RNA, and that RNA is basically a code on how to make a protein. So then what people are working on is the scientists are putting that RNA strand into what they call a slippery pod made of lipids, which is basically fat. They surround it with a fat coating, all right? And then that's what's going to be injected into you. You get this, you know, this little, these little fat globules injected into you. The fat coating allows these little globules to enter your cells. Your cells are going to take in the fat, you know, the fat globule. They're going to break down the fat, and it's going to release the messenger RNA, the COVID messenger RNA strand. It's now going to be inside your cell. And the mRNA is going to go to the parts of your cells where all of your own messenger RNA goes. Like you have your own cell, you have your nucleus, it has your DNA, your own messenger RNA is reading your DNA, then your own messenger RNA is going to the part of your cells that's going to make the protein. Well, lo and behold, the COVID mRNA is now going to compete for that and go to the parts of your cell called the ribosomes. And the ribosomes are going to read, as they're reading your own, you know, your own body's, you know, messenger RNA to make your own proteins, they're also going to read the COVID viral RNA and start making COVID proteins. They're going to make what's called spike proteins. These are the proteins that surround the COVID virus. These are the proteins that your immune system reads and the proteins that your immune system attacks when it sees the real COVID virus. And it's going to, your cells are going to be like, you know, filled with these proteins. Your immune system is going to see all these proteins, and you're basically going to generate antibodies to all these COVID spike proteins that your own cells are generating. And that's sort of the end of the story. Basically, that your cells will you know, generate all these, your immune system will react to it, and you'll develop measurable antibodies. That's the theory. To me, that goes so far beyond what classic vaccine technology does, that you're messing with how the genetic mechanism in your cells work, and you're competing with your own, you know, what your cell's trying to do on its own. And is all that viral messenger RNA somehow going to disrupt your normal cell function? But even more so is sometimes viral DNA and viral RNA sometimes will accidentally get incorporated into your own cell's genetic code, your own cell's DNA. And is there going to be some sort of weird interaction between our own natural DNA and RNA and this foreign viral RNA that we're injecting? To me, I'm just very uncomfortable about it. And I think the potential to really screw people up on a genetic level, I think, is there. The potential is there. I think it's hard to ignore it. So to me, it boggles my mind that there's this brand new technology in this Moderna vaccine that they are rushing. They're rushing the research, and they're going to, you know, will they even mandate this kind of vaccine for certain people and mandate an untested brand new technology that we know little about? And this vaccine is not going to go through the 4 years of safety research that vaccines are usually supposed to go through. And, you know, they're even going to accept a very low level of efficacy, like, you know, 50% efficacy. And that just, that scares me way more than if this was just like a regular, you know, vaccine, like a kind of like a regular COVID vaccine using like some of the flu vaccine technology or some of the other vaccines that we know how to make already. Just such a brand new technology that messes with your own DNA and makes your own DNA start producing these spike proteins from the COVID germ. Oh, that just creeps me out thinking my own cells would be like manufacturing spike proteins. I mean, does that freak you out?
I don't know. Well, I think it kind of echoes a lot of people's concerns about the fragments of DNA and things like that that are already in vaccines, where you've got human DNA, mm-hmm. animal proteins and DNA. These are things that can alter your body in ways we're not really entirely sure of.
Right.
And it could be in a way that basically turns your body on itself and, right. and really instigates autoimmune reactions, which I think the whole concept of autoimmunity is relatively new in the scientific world. A lot of people don't understand, because a lot of these symptoms, when people come to their doctor saying, I'm feeling these different things, these autoimmune reactions, a lot of it's vague. A lot of it isn't the same thing for each person. It kind of looks different for everybody. So it's sort of hard for them to pinpoint, hard for them to treat, hard for them to fix. And we know for many, many decades, you know, there were women that were having disorders that, you know, doctors were calling, they were just calling them hysterical, but they were autoimmune reactions that they were having that turned out to be totally real. It's just, it wasn't in a classical medical definition. And so I think autoimmunity is risky because we know so little about it and it can look so different for each person. And there's not always a direct way to solve it or to fix it. And that's a little bit scary to me, because the way I kind of look at vaccine reactions are, it's a level of toxicity that basically just goes too far based on the mm-hmm. individual, and it manifests itself differently, and it's causing toxicity, and it looks different for every single child. And because of that, it also can look like an autoimmune disorder. These reactions are all over the board because it manifests differently.
Right.
So my concern with new technology, and the, you know, the same thing, like I said, with you know, aborted fetal fragments or DNA, human DNA, we don't know what it's going to do. We don't know how it's going to alter the internal chemistry and the way our body responds to itself. And that's even more dangerous, because a lot of those autoimmune disorders are chronic lifelong disorders that come on very slowly, and you don't know about them right away, so you might not be able to treat them right away. And most people I know with autoimmune disorders, they had to rule out 18 other things before they figured out what it mm-hmm. was. So it took them a yeah. really long time dealing with these awful symptoms until they could finally get any kind of treatment. And again, it's relatively new. Well, with the new technology, why would you want something new rushed, first of all?
Right.
Why would you want this to be the time that you force 7 billion people to do it? Because we know they want compliance with everybody, ideally. And we know there's a chance this could be an annual vaccine. Why would you choose now as the time to do some type of new technology like this when everybody's lives are on the line? We're not talking about starting this in a subset of the population. They want this universally given to every man, woman, and child, every baby, every elderly person. Everybody would have to be subject to seeing if it works. And this yeah. seems like the worst possible time to have such a large scale experiment, perhaps the largest scale experiment we've ever had.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. Yeah.
This is the wrong yeah. time to try something new, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and other companies are trying to make COVID vaccines using some of the current technology and the current techniques we already have as well. And so they're kind of covering a lot of different bases. And for some reason, this one, you know, brand new approach just it just bothers me. But, you know, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's we don't know for sure it's going to be FDA approved, but it would likely will be, you know, because they're going to. All they have to do is prove that it generates antibodies. And once they do that, and if, you know, nothing terrible shows up in the initial safety testing, boom, it's got emergency approval and they're going to go forward with it. And, you know, our government's not going to, they spent $1.5 billion to buy 100 million doses of this vaccine already. You know, so the company's already making the vaccine. And it's not even approved yet. And our government's not going to want to waste all that money and lose that opportunity to try to see if this vaccine will reduce COVID. And I don't know. It's scary.
Well, I think anytime you're rushing anything, it's a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's when people cut corners. And that's when mistakes are made. And that's also when secrets are kept.
Yeah.
And we see this kind of stuff show up down the line.
Yeah.
that because they had to get it, they had to get it out because they were required, because they were being pushed by their supervisors. People lie. They alter and manipulate data to make it look like it's going to be effective enough and safe enough. And the only way we find this out is after the fact, during discovery, so to speak, once there's been some serious damage.
Right. And that's interesting how you put that, because and another thing I wanted to talk about on this episode, this is kind of just like a couple sort of random things about COVID vaccine episode, so to speak. One was that, you know, I just wanted to give everyone kind of a basic understanding of this new Moderna vaccine. Am I saying that right? Moderna? I think so. Vaccine technology. The other thing was a friend of mine, a doctor friend of mine, I forget even where he works. He works somewhere where he's part of the HHS system.
Services.
Health and Human Services. That's our government organization that sort of helps like oversee the CDC and oversees, you know, all things, you know, regarding health nationwide. So Health and Human Services. So he's part of a group of doctors who get emails routinely as being, you know, people working with HHS. And I don't know, there's like a couple hundred thousand people that, you know, that get these emails nationwide, I think. And he shared with me this email because it was very shocking to him. And when I read it, on the surface, it's not that shocking. But I think when you really start to digest it and look at the tone of it and the purpose of it, what you just said kind of made me really, really realize even more so there could be, you know, I think some potentially nefarious issues behind this rush of the vaccine. So this email is basically about Operation Warp Speed. If you don't know what that is, it's basically the rush to develop vaccines and medications and diagnostic tools for COVID. And it's, you know, our federal government's attempt to try to help bring this pandemic to an end. So it is sent from the head of HHS, or on behalf of the head. I'm sure he didn't write it himself, but one of his employees did and sent it on his behalf. And it's basically about their progress on Operation Warp Speed. And it says, and I want to read a little bit at a time and then we can talk about it, but it's, "Dear colleagues, as we continue to make progress in our collective battle against COVID-19, I want to provide an update this week on progress toward life-saving therapeutics and vaccines, which is proceeding at a record-breaking pace. All the measures we have taken as a country to slow the spread of the virus, informed and promoted by the work of our colleagues, have bought us vital time to expand the tools we have." And that's benign. I mean, that's just sort of like a friendly little introduction.
But you know what's funny about the record-breaking thing?
It's there are
so many things you want to break records. Athletes, ideas, inventors. There are so many things that it would be great to be the first one to do. But to break a record in creating something experimental in medicine that has inherent side effects, that is not something you want to break records for.
Right.
That is something you need the slow and steady to win the race kind of approach. And it's funny because we always want to win. We're such competitors that we think of record breaking and these kind of words as if we're achieving something. Look at us, the first ones to do something. But there are certain things you do not want to be the first to do, because usually those first several attempts at something don't work out very well, and that's where you show the cracks and the flaws. So it's funny to use those kind of words, because it's almost like trying to instill a sense of patriotic pride.
Oh, totally.
Hey, guys, be proud. We are on a rush here to find it. It's going to be, you know, we're doing it faster. We've ever done it before. Like, as in, that's great. That look how far we've come kind of thing. But it's like people have to remember, medicine is not somewhere that you want to go quickly. You don't want to be the first one there. You need to make sure and be sure before you're, you know, letting everybody have access to something that's dangerous.
Yeah, but that's kind of the whole tone of this email, is it's the head of HHS emailing all, you know, a couple hundred thousand people nationwide, all over the country working on this. And it's basically a letter that says, you know, yay us, you know, let's all be patriotic. And by the way, this is how all of you should be feeling. Mm-hmm. And if you're a team player in HHS, in our company, as you know, my employee, my underling, this is how I want you to feel about mm-hmm. the good work we're doing here at Operation Warp Speed. So the whole thing kind of has that tone. So progress toward vaccines, therapeutics, and diagnostics is occurring under Operation Warp Speed. Our program, partnering with the Department of Defense, which is a little scary, in cooperation with components across HHS, and include, he basically lists all the different HHS departments. The goal of this effort, to develop, manufacture, and distribute these products faster than ever, than has ever been done before. Mm-hmm. And like what you just said, you know, you could pretty much say the same thing again. What normally takes years or decades, I know, right?
I've read this, yeah.
Yeah. Developing therapeutics and vaccines. So he's saying it should normally take years or decades.
Because that's how the safety protocol should usually be. Right.
But then he's like so cavalier about how it's okay that it's not going to take us years or decades.
Because we want to be winners.
It's going to take us months.
This is a race. We want to win.
Right. Many of our colleagues are working around the clock to make possible in mere months. As many of you know, I mean, nowhere is there any sort of scientific precaution whatsoever in this entire email. As many of you know, during normal times, drug development involves a series of steps. The different development phases, then certification of manufacturing, then large-scale manufacturing, and then distribution. All of this happens in sequence. Operation Warp Speed is unique because it discards the sequential approach and instead approaches these steps simultaneously where possible.
Which means they're already ready to distribute something that hasn't even been approved for safety.
Yes, exactly.
This is not a time that, it's not like we all worked overtime to make this, you know, come out in time. This is not that kind of thing. But they have to sell it because, I mean, gosh, honestly, whatever marketing employee that came up with Warp Speed, I have to tell you, not so great. I think I would have picked anything other than focusing on the fact that it's fast, because I think that scares people.
Yeah.
I would have picked something that was like something about solid consistency, something about solution, finding an answer, anything other than we're moving at rocket speed.
Yes. Yeah. But this whole email says it's all okay.
Of course.
We're doing it.
Well, they have to though, because there's a natural concern by the public.
Right.
So they're trying to, you know, stop all those fears by trying to make you think differently about it. This is a psychological approach. And I can guarantee you they were talked to by somebody before they crafted this to make sure how are we going to do this?
Yeah, because all the scientists that are doing all this work, they're probably freaking out saying, why are we cutting all these corners? Why are we doing things so fast? Oh, it's because our boss, you know, is telling us this is how we need to approach this. So taking this approach means producing large quantities of investigational vaccines and therapeutics before they're declared safe and effective by our FDA colleagues. I want to get back to that. So that if they meet the FDA's regulatory standards, patients can begin receiving them without a day's delay. The way they word this really scares me, because he's basically saying our FDA colleagues, which he already listed in the list of, you know, the different HHS departments that are on board with this, again, working with the Department of Defense that, you know, tends to, sometimes throw caution to the wind in the interest of national defense and national security, basically saying, don't worry, our FDA colleagues are going to approve these, or approve most of these, because they're our colleagues.
Right,
they're in this email too. And you know,
they're not,
he almost didn't need to bother saying so that if they meet the FDA standards, almost like when they meet the FDA standards, is the way I interpret this. I think there's a subtly putting that in there. So any scientists that I think have ethical problems with this are going to maybe think, okay, well, at least he's still waiting for the FDA to approve this. And I don't know. It bothers me a little bit. So producing products before we know they can be distributed is a risk we're willing to take. He doesn't say producing products before we know they are safe. He says producing products before we know they can be distributed, which is a totally different thing.
Well, he's talking about this like it's a t-shirt. You're we're right. moving so fast, record breaking. We're going to produce this, get ready to distribute it faster than we've ever produced and distributed T-shirts ever before.
Right. And that's his concern. They won't be able to distribute them. He is not concerned whether or not they're safe.
Whether or not they're going to hurt all the people wearing them.
It's a risk we're willing to take and a cost we're willing to bear to end this pandemic as quickly as possible. It's all for, you know, for the good of the people, of course. It also makes this perhaps the most ambitious public-private partnership in the history of our department. So I'd like to know, I mean, I guess the public aspect is all of HHS and the Department of Defense. The private part of it is industry that the government is throwing these, you know, billions and billions of dollars at, of guaranteed, you know, well, we'll buy all this product from you. Don't worry. We're going to pay for you to study it and make it, and we'll buy it all for you. Never before have we thought so ambitiously about how private industry and publicly funded science can come together to save lives.
There's that word again. They're talking about ambition,
yeah.
winning, record-breaking, fastest. Right. These are all things that people use when they talk about competitive business. They're not talking about the safety of medicine. They're talking about this like this is the Olympics, and we want to see who can win. And of course, everybody wants to be behind a winner. Right. Everybody wants to support somebody who's let's see how fast we can go. I mean, the whole concept is already very uncomfortable and unsettling. Yeah. And you can see they have to sell it.
Yeah. But it's OK because they're coming together to save lives.
Do your part.
Right. We are selecting, and this is kind of what I was getting to a little earlier. We are selecting a portfolio of therapeutic and vaccine candidates that cover different approaches to the virus and multiple candidates within each approach. To hedge the risk that not all candidates will make it to the finish line.
Again, so you see the finish line.
The finish line, you're
right.
Do you
see all these words? This is all part of these analogies they're using because everybody believes in somebody like that. This is like psychological manipulation. Yeah. This is so crazy. It's funny. People don't even pay attention to this stuff when they're reading. They don't see it, but it's all by design. It's
design. I mean, you read this email, you want to stand up from your desk and cheer and, you know, fist pump everybody and start running around the hallways so you can join, you know, the race to
it's
the finish
line. It's so subliminal.
It is very interesting. You're right. We are, the criteria for both vaccines and therapeutics are similar. We are choosing candidates that have already shown some promise in animal models or early stage human studies that are already far along in the development process that have the potential to rapidly scale and that are part of a reliable scientific platform that we believe can deliver results. So that doesn't so much speak to new vaccine technology, but current technology. Therapeutic clinical trials can produce results within a matter of weeks. Which, I mean, can you imagine a vaccine trial in just a matter of weeks? You're right. All they have to do is find 1,000 volunteers, inject them, and test their antibodies. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes. So he's right. You could get results within a matter of weeks. And it is possible to have hundreds of thousands of doses produced by this fall. We are supporting therapeutic research and development work on two fronts. First, we're developing therapeutics that attach the virus, like antivirals, and monoclonal antibodies, convalescent plasma. Second, we're researching the best way to use existing therapeutics that can save lives by modifying our body's immune response, such as anticoagulants and steroids. I'll skip a little bit here. We have seen early success with several therapeutics that are saving lives. Already, you know, they talk about using remdesivir, an antiviral. They've bought 150,000 courses of this medication to distribute, even though the studies only showed it like shortens hospitalization stay by just a few days. I mean, the studies so far are showing it barely helps.
Well, then why are they so against HCQ?
Yeah, well, don't get me started. But
I mean, like if the one thing they're allowed to promote doesn't even have any evidence on it, then how is it that they're able to totally discourage anybody from using something
that
does have some evidence that says something positive?
I don't know. Through this effort, the first shipments of remdesivir were sent to states this week. And this is actually a couple of months ago already now. I'm going to skip this about, so they're talking about therapeutics and, you know, they put in $450 million to buy a bunch of monoclonal antibodies from Regeneron. If it's successful, the company estimates it'll have 70,000 or as much as 300,000 treatment doses available by early fall. So again, they're devoting tons of money to a monoclonal antibody that may or may not even work. Progress continues at a record pace on vaccines as well. And this is what I wanted to get to. With our announcement last week of support for Novavax's candidate vaccine all the way through manufacturing, we now have 4 announced agreements with companies on vaccines. And they're doing their portfolio approach, doing 3 different types of vaccine technologies. The messenger RNA, which they call the fastest that they could produce and the most ambitious. Virus-based vaccines, which is also ambitious but already proven to work well. And protein-based vaccines, which is a common, well-tested approach. So they're using 3 different vaccine technologies. They've already purchased hundreds of thousands of doses of each of these different vaccines. Hundreds of millions of doses of each of these vaccines. And they've spent billions of dollars on all these already, hoping 1, 2, 3, or maybe all 4 of them will work out. That's all my paraphrasing. Okay, so last week we announced that we've begun recruiting volunteers for large-scale vaccine trials. They'll use their existing networks through the National Institutes of Health. They're actually utilizing some Native American peoples for these vaccine trials, which a lot of people are also find very concerning. If you're interested in participating, you can sign up, and it gives you the website. The entire HHS family has played an integral role in getting us to this point on vaccines and therapeutics. You've helped build institutions like BARDA, which is playing a major role in executing this historic project. So BARDA is the biomedical technology part of HHS. And I guess it's a new branch of HHS, because they said, you know, you've helped us build it. But they're all about the biomedical technology, this kind of new technology. You've been doing the research behind much of the science we have on how to defeat this virus. You've inked the complex contracts that enable all of these partnerships. Your expertise in boosting vaccine confidence and researching vulnerable communities will be essential to eventually distributing a safe and effective vaccine once we have it. In time, the effort to distribute vaccines will require contributions from nearly every corner of HHS. That is how big of a challenge we are taking on. I'm grateful for your work so far, and I look forward to sharing more progress on this effort from our colleagues as we move forward this summer and fall. And it's from the head of HHS. I don't know that there's a lot of, you know, bad or nefarious stuff in there, but for me, it was basically the whole tone, like you pointed out.
Right.
Our department, who's in charge of developing these therapeutics and vaccines, and I guess I'm more concerned about the vaccines, is just this tone you have to be a team player. We're all in this together. We're working for the finish line, and it's okay to rush all this, and don't worry, we're gonna make this happen. And the public, and our soldiers, the military, they're going to be the first, to get injected with these vaccines. And they're already injected with so much, but,
And certain cultural groups, like you're saying, I saw them saying in the Black community, they were going to try to be one of the places they're targeting. And like you're saying, they're doing some testing on Native American communities. It seems a little odd to be targeting any cultural community, to be honest, or any racial demographic. It seems like they should be doing only people that voluntarily want to try this and go this route. They shouldn't be targeting anybody, because when they do that, they use manipulative language to convince them they're at more risk and this is going to save their lives. They don't give them all the information. A lot of times they go into poor communities and do stuff like this where they're not able to really get informed consent. They're not able to research and get that information. And they sort of take advantage of communities like this, which is concerning.
Yeah, but it's also concerning that the Department of Defense is involved in this. Any scientists that are having problems with this, they're just going to be hushed up. They're just going to be fired. They're going to be let go if they're not a team player in this. And this is the government body that is in charge of the entire COVID vaccine and therapeutic process. These are the people that are leading this completely. It's not private medicine. It's not your local doctor. It's not your local medical organizations. It's not the AMA or the AAP. It's not your state medical associations. It's the government, and they are basically telling their entire, 200,000, network of people that this is how it's going to be, and we're going to sell this and distribute this to the country. So they're shutting down opposition and any naysayers or anyone who's concerned in their own group, and that's who's going to be presenting us with the vaccine. It's not like a company that's been working on this for 10 years, and they've done, gone through all the regular channels, and they're hoping then to, sell it to the public. It almost makes me a little more concerned that it's the government that is now going to be trying to push this on the public. Not even the pharmaceutical companies. It's almost like the government is taking it out of their hands, buying it all from them, and they're going to turn around and distribute it free of charge to the whole American public. And that creeps me out.
Well, it kind of feels like we're in a state of war, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like they're responding in a way like this is national security, yeah. So we've got to step in and do all this kind of stuff. And it really, yeah. Again, medicine should be individualized for each person. It should be an option, a choice. You can't do that when they make these widespread plans and programs, because they're expecting everybody to get on board.
I know. And I'm not going to make this email public, but, it may end up going around somewhere on the internet. But, I know a lot of people are sort of like concerned that President Trump is really pushing this vaccine and pushing Operation Warp Speed. And we don't want to, of course, get political, but I guess from what we've seen looking at Republican Party vaccine policies versus Democratic vaccine policy, I think everyone wants a vaccine. Both parties want a vaccine equally.
Or want it available.
Right. They want it available.
Not want that everybody has to have it.
They want it available. So
for those who want it.
Right. So the vaccine's going to happen no matter who wins this election, no matter who's in power, who's in control. The vaccine's going to happen one way or the other. I think the question is, who do you want to be in charge of making vaccine policy when it comes to COVID? President Trump, he's already said this will be a free choice. We're not going to mandate this. There's not going to be any federal mandate. States could have the power to mandate this, though. So I think people need to take a look at who do you want to be in charge of COVID vaccine policy moving forward? Even though, yes, this is being rushed, I think whoever was in office right now would be rushing this. I think it's rushing almost regardless of the politics.
I think people have to understand the way this all works, too. When you have a situation like this, and you've got a big portion of the population that is still afraid of this, that's still wearing masks.
And loves vaccines.
Right. And really is going to feel safer with a vaccine, mm-hmm. or in their minds, that nothing can go back to normal until there's a vaccine.
Right.
When you have that belief system existing in the country, whether you agree with that or not, unfortunately, sometimes you have to play ball. You have to do what people expect of you, and it could be for optics. This is how politicians work. When I saw people, I'm not like a huge Trump guy, but I'm certainly not a Biden person either. But when people initially heard Trump, like you said, talking about vaccines, there's all this criticism. Wait, what? I thought he was on our side. It's like, listen, you have to know how the game is played.
Right.
This is politics. If you're a CEO of a company, you have to do and say certain things that could be totally different than your personal belief system, but you do it for the brand of the company and for your customer base. So he's not unaware of the fact that it's an election year, and he has to think about all the people who may, not just Republicans, but Democrats, who believe in something. He has to act like he supports and at least will offer that to what is the majority. I mean, that's the truth. It's the majority of Americans. They feel that they're going to want a vaccine. They believe in vaccines. They're scared of this. The majority of Americans are scared of COVID and are happy to wear masks because they think people that don't are, irresponsible and spreading this everywhere. More than half of the nation is completely uninformed. More than half of the nation does not do their own research. A huge portion of our population is just believing what they believe. So when you're a political leader, and it's like being a CEO of a company, like I said, this is business. You have to keep everybody happy. And there are certain things that you will, you know, put your feet down. This is not one of them.
Right.
This is too controversial. He's not going to be a president that says, we don't need a vaccine. Vaccines are dangerous.
Yeah, or let's get a COVID vaccine 4 years from now, you know, because they're going to put it through the regular process.
It cannot happen. Right? His goal is make people feel more comfortable. This is what people are going to feel more comfortable with. He wants people to think that he is offering them security during a time of discomfort. This is the type of security most people need. I don't particularly need that kind of security, but some people do. I think the biggest problem is people do not know how to step backwards and see the big picture. Don't listen to every single word and go, oh, that means this, that means that. It's all part of a larger thing. And sometimes people's hands are tied. And you know what? He may absolutely be, as let's say he was a supporter of vaccines. It doesn't matter as long as he also honors the right to choose and not mandate medical procedures.
Right.
You can't expect everybody to agree with you on everything. I cannot tell you how many times I've posted something and somebody's like, oh, yeah, but I heard he believes in this environmental policy, or I heard whoever the person I share. It's like, do you guys really think that you're going to agree on every little aspect of every little thing with every person? No, you're not. There are certain things that are more important to you, though, and those are the ones that you want to align with people on, no matter what they're the entertainer, you know, politician, whatever it is. You cannot, it's so funny that as soon as one thing's off, people want to go against somebody. Like people were criticizing Bobby for supporting his nephew, who's a Democrat, and because Democrats support vaccine policy, everybody's like, oh my gosh, how could he do that? Doesn't he know that he's supporting that? It's like, it's his nephew. Right. Like, it's also his family.
Right.
There are certain things that we can agree with people on and certain things that we can't. It does not mean it's an all or nothing thing. And I think people sort of lose sight of that. This is a bigger picture conversation. This is not just about one thing that said you're not going to agree with everybody on everything. That's a fact. That is an absolute fact. So what we should be practicing is some level of tolerance, some level of the ability to allow people to have different viewpoints, whether that be on religion, politics, whatever, as long as you're not forcing and pushing and mandating somebody else against their will to take part in things for themselves or their children or their families that they don't feel comfortable with, especially medicine. Right. That's all that really matters.
Yeah, and how scary would it be if the products of Operation Warp Speed, you know, produced by this administration, then get turned over to a completely different administration who's part of the pro-vaccine mandate agenda.
Yeah, for sure.
And gosh, that would be incredibly concerning. So I don't know. We'll know pretty soon, right?
Yeah.
We'll know in like 6 weeks. But anyway. So yeah, I thought this was pretty interesting, and thank you for shedding some of those ideas on this. I feel like you made me realize there's even more in this document than I thought already. So anyway, we will keep you up to date if we hear more about this kind of thing. But anyway, guys, thanks for coming back with us, and we're happy to be back. And I think our episodes coming up might continue to be a little less frequent than they've been, than they usually are,
right?
Because we're on a semi break. This isn't like a total official break. We're on a semi break, but we will hopefully be back with actual dates to tell you for our visit to Texas, like we told you about on our last episode. And as soon as we know, you guys will be the first to know. And I don't know, anything else?
Well, just, you know, I want everybody to be taking care during this time.
And
I don't mean that in a stay safe, don't get COVID way. I mean that in a
be
dealing
healthy
with remote learning with your kids the mental struggle of everything going on and the fact that the world is changing and people that have anxiety and other things. Yeah. Like, this is really hard on, you know, everybody, but it's even harder on those who can't really handle a lack of consistency and routine. And a lot of times that's children. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people suffering right now. So I don't ever want to forget that part of it. Like, we can go back to business as usual and have a podcast as if this is not all happening, but it is all happening. And as soon as somebody's done listening to this, they have to go back to the reality of whatever upside down world that they may be living in. So I don't want to end it without acknowledging everybody that's in that circumstance. And it's many of us. And you know what? It's awful. And that's one of the reasons why we're so excited to get back to in-person gathering with our podcast tour, because we want to meet and be together and connect with everybody, because I think we really need that more than ever right now.
Yes, we do. All right, you guys. Well, we will see you next time on
The Vaccine Conversation.
The information in this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your healthcare professional for information on vaccines and infectious diseases.